Let's talk to somebody who's clearly distressed about an issue. Still Gary. And now last time we spoke about this on Balls Radio, I'm not sure you got it. So we're going to talk about it again. Data retention, which is not a bit like water retention, except for the bloating. The bloating this time, though, is going to be done by the telecommunications companies, who may have to retain years of records about you. Now, this is not just who you called and how long for and when the call was made, but also which websites you went to and copies of the emails you sent. In fact, basically, every keystroke you make stored in case legal authorities need it at some point to be able to see what you've been doing with your life. Now, it was big news when the government announced a Senate inquiry into all of this, but the inquiry itself, you know, it's been going on with very little press coverage, and yet I think it probably should be. Still, Geryon is also very worried about it. Who knows what he gets up to online. To talk about
Hello,
it, well, we've
still,
got him
yeah,
on
so
the line.
What I get up to online is my private life. Just like anyone else. Right. So think about this. I mean, so much of our everyday activities are conducted online these days. So I might not walk down to the chemist shop to pick up my tablets. I might arrange for them to happen online, or at least the fact that I've visited the chemist shop is online. The fact that I've had my groceries delivered and when that happened and all of this sort of stuff. You know, and it's not it's the fact that think about what's happening on your smartphone or on your computer. It's the stuff that is, you know, exactly when you decided to look at a share market website or when you decided to look at the wine shop or the holiday or the whatever it might be.
So the big fear here then, isn't it? That authorities can't look at you and keep track of your every move in real life, in the outside world. They can't, you know, it's just physically not possible to do that. But to keep track of what you do online, well, if they wanted to, they could. And that's the big fear, I think, is what you're saying, isn't it? That they're doing it because they can, not because they need to.
And that's right. And look, there's been two things happen in the last week or so that have caused concern for me. One is that there has been further action in Senate estimates. And the other is that ABC's Background Briefing radio program did a whole episode on data retention on Sunday. And the podcast is available on the ABC website. And in those two things, we heard senior people at the Australian Federal Police and the Attorney General's Department, and in Background Briefing, we actually heard the head of ASIO being interviewed about this. And the way they reacted worried me, because they kind of all stiffened and got quite defensive. That they were questioned about their motives for doing this. Now, I don't think that covers up anything sinister, because I think, you know, as far as world intelligence and police agencies goes, the Australians are up there with, you know, they're at the honest and reliable end of the spectrum. They've got a mission to fulfill. They are generally men and women who are committed to that mission and committed to working within the law and so on and so forth. What I think got up the noses of these people was that, A, they were being questioned about something that they themselves took for absolute granted, that sort of, what are you questioning us? Of course we don't go on fishing expeditions into people's private lives. We don't do that. We don't have time. Why would we do that? And to me, that was not a good strategy, because it kind of went, well, you're not saying you wouldn't, you're just saying, why wouldn't we? And I think, well, I can think of reasons. You know, maybe you have someone who's corrupt. Maybe you're getting secret orders from the government that we don't know about. Yeah. Maybe this. Now, I don't think that's actually happening. You know, I'm not in the tinfoil hat brigade. I think they are genuinely at that top level in those organisations. They really are trying to stop the terrorists and trying to stop the pedophiles.
Right. But it sounds like this is an inquiry into more about how we should do it or how far we should go, rather than actually starting from the base point, which is, why do we want to do it? And if we are going to do it, how far do we go?
That's right. I mean, ever since ASIO started, for example, the mission's changed. I mean, ASIO was set up in the wake of World War II. We just defeated the Nazis and Imperial Japan. Communism was on the rise. We were worried about the atom bomb. We had secrets to protect, all of that. So we know kind of why ASIO happened, but that's, you know, 50 years ago, more. Mm. And all right, now we're trying to stop the terrorists, but we all know that that word terrorism has been thrown around for political reasons and we don't quite understand. And
it's been redefined. Like misogyny, it's been redefined in the dictionary. It just means anybody who's having a go at somebody.
Really. Well, the Macquarie Dictionary, to pick that up, because I you know, did linguistics as well. Yeah, dictionaries just report on how language is being used. And that's how the word misogyny is used these days. Mm. But the data retention laws don't just apply to these top-level national organisations going after the really bad guys. Already in Australia, the data retention on our telephone records, well, people need a warrant to actually listen to the calls, but they don't need a warrant to get this metadata, the information about the calls, which number was called from which other number, for how long, at what time, and if it was a mobile phone, where was the cell tower that you were in. Now,
that's enough to say where you are at a particular point in time.
Well, exactly. And, of course, with smartphones these days, they're not just reporting our location when we make a call. They're reporting our location every time any of the apps on the phone communicate back with their mothership in the cloud.
Yeah.
Which
is all the time, basically.
It's all the time, yes. If you've got a mapping application, if you've, you know, you're navigating, if you've got a dating app open, whatever it might be, it's constantly reporting where you are. Now, that changes the balance. And this was one of three points I'll quickly run through that worried me. One is that the Federal Police and ASIO are sincerely saying, I think, they're not trying to get any extra powers. They're just trying to update their existing powers. Except the landscape's changed. We now have more stuff here. So same power, but the balance has changed. Mm. And I think that's a question we need to look at. They're also saying they don't want to look at our web browsing history, and because that's content, they'd need a warrant. But they've got a one-page working document defining what they're talking about here, and from a technical point of view, it doesn't make any sense technically. So how do I know this is what you mean in the future? Mm. I think all of, again, these guys are busy. They're concentrating on what they're doing now. They don't have time to think about, hang on, what's this going to mean in 10 years' time and how the internet will evolve in 10 years' time?
Yeah.
And the third point that worries me is while they're talking about, you know, fighting the terrorists and the pedophiles, good on them, go for it, give them a hand, give them as much data as they want, I say. But the data retention laws are being talked about already down to any government agency in Australia which either enforces a criminal code or protects government revenue.
Including the tax office, absolutely.
Tax office, Centrelink, the RSPCA, the Wyndham Local Council in Melbourne, the Taxi Cab Licensing Authority.
Yeah.
And you know, people say, what are you talking about? There have been data requests. They're all documented. At least we have a regime which says which organisations are asking for this stuff. Like, there was a query about one of the state's real estate agents' registration board things. I was like, you know, all right, we want to catch the bad guys, particularly real estate agents, but
but there's no law against being a real estate agent yet. But
we can live in hope, Phil. But it's, is that why we want to create a vast database of every communication we've had with everyone for years that the technical people tell us, hang on, that's going to be really big and expensive to do. It's going to be difficult to defend. It has to be defended in a way that all of it can reliably be used as evidence in a courtroom. To put a scale on that, Steve Dalby is the regulatory guy for IINet, who are the third largest telco in Australia. Mm. And he said, look, if we're talking about the traffic levels they have in their customers and just recording the internet protocol addresses, the IP addresses that happen through their network, he said it's 25 million per second.
Yes. Gives a bit of perspective, doesn't it? So how, so to
multiply that out by 2 years, which is what the AFP want. I think ASIC saying, no, we want to record all the communications as well.
Yeah, the tax office wanted longer. I think the tax office was saying we need 3 years at least. So,
even five, which would match how far they can investigate you on a tax audit.
Yeah.
Which, so, on the surface makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, if they are allowed to look back in your tax records for 5 years, why can't they dig back in other things to verify
that? And that is a great example, isn't it? So, for example, if you've put in your logbook records for your car to say you made a journey that you're claiming as a tax exemption, is it fair that the tax office should be able to verify that and say, well, actually, according to your mobile phone, you weren't anywhere near that point that you say in your logbooks? And is that fair game? I mean, they are ensuring
that... doesn't that sound sensible on the...
Doesn't that actually
sound quite reasonable?
Listen, I mean, this is the key point in all of this, isn't it? If you work in the tax office, you might go, well, that is fair enough, because that is verifying that what we're getting are accurate records that are submitted to us, and we're catching the cheats out. But everybody in their own...
The tax office doesn't need to know about when I drove to visit a sick nephew, or did a private visit to Aunt Eleanor because she's going through a difficult divorce and she'd rather her husband, soon-to-be ex-husband, didn't know that I went to visit her and discuss this very private issue.
Exactly. But more to the point, I mean, in the example I gave, I mean, is it fair enough that the tax office knows that? If you ask somebody in the tax office, they'd say, sure, if you submitted the claim and we go and verify it, that is fair enough. I would say, well, I don't think it is, because I feel like you are prying into my behaviour at a level that I don't think is warranted. But
and then
everybody,
there's another level. I mean, I mention on Twitter which trains I catch from the Blue Mountains down to Sydney to go to a business meeting. I have no problem with there even being a public record of the fact that I did certain things for business purposes. But if I'm, again, catching a train privately or just, you know, going to the pub or visiting friends, it's an invasion of their privacy if I talk about that. So I don't. It's a balance. And and the argument will come back from law enforcement that, well, look, they don't have time to go on fishing expeditions and pruriently nosily look into people's private lives. Yeah. I mean, which officially they don't. And maybe everyone who works for ASIO is a fine and upstanding officer who would never think of doing that. Really?
Yeah.
There must be
there's always a loose cannon, isn't there? And that's definitely a concern. And my point was going to be that whichever area of law enforcement you look at, at whatever level, people are always going to have a different perception of what is accepted as the public norm than those people in the wider community. And it sounds like that conversation about what we consider as being the norm is the conversation that isn't happening. I mean, we've got a Senate inquiry.
Exactly.
The government is a
lower level conversation, isn't there?
Yeah.
And it's not just about the police. As I say, even sworn police officers, you see the reports occasionally of an officer who decided to look up the details of where his ex-girlfriend now lives.
Yeah.
You know, to go and give her grief. And all right, the police mostly catch that because the coppers forget that every time they look up some criminal details on the or look up anything on their intelligence database, that fact is logged and their own internal people go, hang on, why is Constable so-and-so looking up Ms. Smith because he's not involved in Ms. Smith's case, you know, and they go and tap him on the shoulder. I mean, that happens. But that doesn't happen down at our local council when they're checking to see, you know, what's going on there. And we all know how fine and upstanding our local councils are with their ability to stamp out petty corruption.
Yeah, exactly. No, it is all very scary. It's a conversation that needs to be had. And it's a shame that the mainstream media doesn't seem to be picking up on it, because I think there's a lot of community concern, or there would be if they knew precisely what was going on.
And the other thing that hits me, I will just say, many of those fighting against the proposals are not doing themselves a favour by just this scattergun approach and "F you, ASIO" and all of this or whatever. Yeah, yeah. It's like, guys, ASIO are keeping us safe from some bad guys.
That's right. We need reason debate. That's right. Absolutely. We need some sound arguments rather than people firing off. Absolutely. Hey, still Gary, appreciate your time. Let's talk again next week.
Will do. See you then, Phil.